In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I had a friend that visited India several years ago, and one of the places she visited was Calcutta, where the Missionaries of Charity continued to operate long after the death of their founder, Mother Teresa. Because of her life of service and dedication to the poor, Mother Teresa was put on the fast track to becoming a saint in the Roman Catholic Church, having already been declared blessed by Pope John Paul II in 2003. Now, being declared a saint in the Roman Church requires a lot of hoops to jump through. It's sort of like running for president. The only difference is that after it's all said and done, everyone still likes you. It's not only Catholics who revere her, however. My friend reported that many Hindus in Calcutta now count Mother Teresa as a Hindu goddess, and she showed us photos of people coming to revere her grave. The idea that a new god or goddess could be added to the pantheon in modern times is hard for most people in the West to understand, as is the possibility of choosing from among many deities one who would be in the chief objects of one's worship. If we don't understand the real possibility of choosing one God among many to worship, then we don't really understand the background of today's reading from the book of Joshua. Modern Jews and Christians often quote a portion of this passage as an affirmation of our faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jesus. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You can buy that on wall plaques and signs, and I've seen them up in many homes. We don't always pay much attention to what precedes it, though. Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. The choice the Israelites faced was a real one to them. The concept of absolute monotheism did not yet exist, so Yahweh was just one God among many that they might have chosen. People sometimes balk at the idea, but countless verses in the Old Testament use the term gods. You are a great God above all gods, David says in the Psalms. The notion that Yahweh was the only divine being probably didn't really sink in until about the time of the Babylonian captivity, about 900 years after Joshua. So what does that mean for the people of Israel in today's Old Testament lesson? Joshua was challenging them to consider what Yahweh had done for them and their ancestors, and to choose to serve Yahweh rather than any of the other gods who were seemingly viable alternatives. Now, I like to think of myself as being fairly enlightened, but that's kind of hard for me to wrap my head around. You see, those of us who were raised under the influence of the three major Western religions, Christianity, Judaism, or Islam, accept monotheism as a given. We rarely, if ever, consider the alternatives to worshiping God, singular. After all, since there is only one God, are there really any other options when it comes to worship other than just not worshiping at all? Well, upon reflecting this week on this passage and on that question that Joshua gave the people of Israel, my brothers and sisters, I think that there are, in fact, other gods for us to choose. And I think that many Christians in today's world have fallen into the worship of other gods without realizing it. Modern Western civilization has a virtual pantheon of gods to choose from, in fact. One alternative god is money, also known as greed, what some of us have called mammon. Another god is pleasure. Others are family, career, happiness, and power. These gods are fairly obvious, and many acknowledge both their existence and the draw that they have on people today. Draws that start out innocently enough, even virtuous, but soon, far too often, engulf us. We live in a world filled with idols. Even in Christianity, we are surrounded by possible idols. We have some big ones that we can fall into the trap of worshiping without even realizing it. The biggest ones are the buildings we gather in, the liturgy we use, and the Bible itself. We sometimes act like those things are more important than God, and I'm guilty of it more than I'd often like to admit. But I believe that there is another, more insidious God that many people worship today, one, my brothers and sisters, that hides in plain sight. This God takes the name of the true God, but substitutes its own soul for God's. This God is a nationalistic God whose followers deny the dignity of every human being and call it patriotism. This God is a capitalistic God whose followers value personal gain over caring for the poor. This God is a chauvinistic God whose followers consider men more worthy than women. This God is a sectarian God whose followers deny entry into their God's kingdom to any who do not share exactly the same faith. This is the God that too many people in our country and around the world worshiping on Sunday mornings and serve throughout the week. It's the God of the self-righteous, the vain, the greedy, and more often than they'd admit, the insecure. No matter where on the political spectrum you fall or what ideology you ascribe to, if you twist the words of the true and living God around to suit your purposes or help you sleep at night because of the decisions you've made your choice which God to serve. And it sure isn't the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joshua, or Jesus. It's a God who confirms our prejudices, hates the same people we hate, affirms our own desires, and calls us to be this God's enforcers. My brothers and sisters, it's the God of ourselves. But there is a choice to make today, just as there was in Joshua's day. Will we serve one of the alternative gods, some of whom masquerade as the true God? Or will we commit ourselves to the God whose love is available to all people equally? A God that calls us to put others before ourselves. A God who calls us to put aside material wealth and hold on to that which is holy, and even when it is not convenient or comfortable. It's a question we have to ask ourselves every single day. Rather than putting up a sign saying, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," I'd rather see us remind ourselves what Lord we will serve. Where are the plaques out there that say, "Choose this day whom you will serve"? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I hope it's something that each of us can claim. I hope it's something we can strive toward a little more each day. I hope we ask ourselves if it's true and when it's not. And I can promise you, my brothers and sisters, there will be times when it is not. I hope we fall back and return to our God. Amen.